News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
57 days and counting. With 57 days till Election Day, Countdown 2024 is aimed at giving you the info you're going to need to make smart decisions at national, state, and local elections. On our first show, we're going to talk to political journalist John Heilman from Showtime's The Circus about the state of the presidential race.
But we start with today's top political stories. Today, there is a pair of new polls, and they both foreshadow a very tight election. Whether you're pulling for Kamala Harris or Donald Trump, there are reasons to be both enthusiastic and worried within the last 24 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. The New York Times and Siena College polls shows that not only is Donald Trump holding on to his infamously loyal base, but he might actually be growing his appeal to voters. Trump leads Kamala Harris by just 1 point, 48 to 47. Now, the biggest takeaway from the Times poll seems to be that there is still a sizable share of voters who just don't know much about Kamala Harris.
Right, but if you're a Harris fan, you don't have to look all that far for some comfort. A new ABC Ipsos poll shows the vice president leading Trump nationally by 6 points among likely voters, all of which brings us to our first guest of Countdown 2024. John Heilman is one of the most seasoned political correspondents in the country right now. He is a national political analyst for NBC News and MSNBC and chief political columnist for Puck News. You might recognize him from his years hosting the acclaimed political show The Circus on Showtime. And John joins us as the first guest of Countdown 2024.
John Heilman, thank you for being with us. You have either the honor or dubious distinction, we'll find out, as being the first guest on our first show. So thank you for taking the time.
I'm always delighted to both lose my virginity and lose the show's virginity in some way. It's like me, I'm old enough that feels like kind of a certain kind of honor. You know, it's all
and there
good.
You go.
Plus, you guys are based in L.A. That's my hometown, so I'm always happy to be somewhere on the airwaves of the Southland.
Okay, very good. So listen, all of us, the three of us, Margaret, me, you, we've covered many campaigns, presidential campaigns over the years. And it would probably be without fear of contradiction to say that this is probably, if not among the strangest. Did you agree?
Well, certainly, I don't know if I'd want to apply strange to it as much as it's unprecedented for sure in our lifetimes. And, you know, we haven't had a sitting president who decided to stand down rather than seek re-election since LBJ in 68. And so that's in and of itself pretty unusual. And then to have it happen the way it happened, obviously it was very outside the ordinary for sure. I think that strange just has these connotations of the word weird, and weird is,
you know, I was thinking of that.
almost feels partisan now. So I like to stay away from that one. It's unusual for sure. There's no doubt about it. I've never seen anything like it.
You know, I mean, it seems like we hear this in every election, the idea that it's the most important election of our lifetime. And given the strangeness of this, if you will, do you think that's actually true this time?
I thought it was the most important election of our lifetime before the strangeness of it. We've never had a nominee of a major party who has as openly discussed destroying American democracy as Donald Trump has. And so, and then who led an insurrection and an angry mob that beat up and killed police officers on the Capitol grounds on January 6th. So to me, I say in a nonpartisan way, because this is a Liz Cheney point and not a Democratic point, you know, her view is Donald Trump is uniquely dangerous, and there's never been anybody who's been a major party nominee in the history of the country like that before. And so if you think that the stakes of the election are, if you believe there's a chance that Donald Trump will do what he did previously or something like it, and that if you listen to what he's been saying he will do, deport, you know, millions upon millions of undocumented immigrants from the country. Yesterday he just came out and said that anyone who he decides was involved in cheating in 2016 or 2020 is going to be arrested and face severe legal consequences. Not put on trial, not, you know, go through the judicial system, but we're going to arrest them and put them in jail. That is authoritarian, autocratic dictator talk, and he's telling us he's going to do it. So to me, You know, if Donald Trump wins the election, I'll be talking to you next time from Portugal.
And yet, John, you would think all the things you just ticked off, you would think that this would not be a particularly close race. But there's a new New York Times poll out, I'm sure you've seen it, which shows that it is a very tight race, including in the very states that either candidate really needs to win to get the electoral votes to become president. And to a large degree, according to that poll, it's because a lot of voters don't really know enough about Kamala Harris. And that brings me to
Back to the strangeness.
Well strangeness, thing, but it also brings me to chocolate chip cookies. And I'll tell you why. For years, I've been a fan of Chips Ahoy chocolate chip cookies. Mm. It's very pedestrian, but I like them.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, about 3 or 4 months ago, I go to the supermarket and it says on it, all new chocolate chip cookies, brand new. And I thought, well, what's new about it? It's the same package. It's the same. I looked at the ingredients label, same ingredients. I bought it. I tasted it. It tasted like the same chocolate chip cookie, but it was being sold as new. And I think you know where I'm going with this, John. Kamala Harris.
That marketers lie all the time to us?
Well, but she's...
to try to goose sales?
Yes. But she's being marketed in much the same way, isn't she?
As a new candidate.
As a new candidate, a new way forward. How is it a new way forward?
Well, I think that's one of the central questions that a lot of voters, as you pointed out, that New York Times Siena College poll, and it's consistent with other polling, that people do not know her all that well. And I will say, that is not unusual for vice presidents. It's not like... wow, she'd been a great vice president. We would have known about her. And people didn't know who Mike Pence was. People didn't know who Dan Quayle was. People didn't really know who Al Gore was. People knew who Dick Cheney was because he was kind of a different character. But in general, you win the vice presidency, or you're picked to be vice president or a running mate, your boss, the president, wins. You are then stuck in a closet for the next 4 to 8 years. And people don't get a chance to really know or see the vice president. And so she is because of the unusual nature of the campaign, she is new. Definitionally, in the sense that she is not Joe Biden. She's also new in the sense that people don't know her that well. I think the one of the central questions if you ask why is the race so close, the race is so close because for a lot of people in the country, their pocketbooks, that what they believe about their life prospects, their economic prospects, their family's prospects matters more to them than some of the things I was talking about before, which they either don't care about or don't believe will actually happen, that they think this threat to democracy is overblown. I can, you know, have an argument with anybody about that, but it doesn't matter in some sense, because what a lot of people were really unhappy with the Biden economy. And they were particularly unhappy with a couple of things. Primarily, they were unhappy with inflation. And for 3 years, I would say this is one of the failings of Joe Biden, was to never kind of take that issue on and to try to pretend like it wasn't as bad as it was, or to try to talk about the accomplishments without saying, hey, I get it. The price of eggs is too high. The price of gas is too high. You know, there's no one I know who, no matter how rich you are, you haven't been over the last 3 years astonished sometimes when you went and filled up your gas tank, or walked down to the grocery store and picked up a dozen eggs and a slab of bacon. And inflation is the most potent political issue in any country at any time ever. It hits everyone and it drives a lot of discontent about the economy. And so one of the questions for Kamala Harris is, does she own that or not? Can she persuade people that was Joe Biden's economy, not my economy? I'm going to do things differently.
Does she have the time to get that message across to people, given the fact that she came into this race just, what, maybe a month ago? I mean, Donald Trump has had all this time to do his campaigning. Does she have the time to get that message across to the people of this country?
We'll see. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. Again, we go back to, there's no precedent for this. We've never, in our lifetimes, and I would say in anybody's lifetime, we had a nominee who came in as late as she did. You know, when Johnson decided not to run, it was March of 1968. And so you still had a primary. You know, you still had Gene McCarthy and Hubert Humphrey and Bobby Kennedy running for the Democratic nomination for months before you ended up in Chicago in 68, you know, that August.
Because this whole thing is strange. That's why, John.
That's just my point is, there's no precedent for it. So does she have enough time? Look, there are a lot of people in the country who, and this was part of why the Biden-Trump race was so dispiriting for so many people, they did not like Joe Biden and his policies. They also don't love Donald Trump. And that's true among Republicans. You meet them all the time. I used to hear people for 2 years say, either I'm a Republican, I don't really like, hate Biden, I don't really like Trump, but I'm going to vote for him because I hate Biden more, or vice versa. I don't really love Biden, but, you know, God, I can't stand the idea of Donald Trump. And the question always was, is this really the best we can do? So there's a there's not like a giant enthusiastic majority in the country for Trump, but there's also this large questions about Kamala Harris and what does she stand for? She's changed her positions on a number of things. Is she responsible for the immigration problem in the country, which she was kind of in charge of in some sense? Does she have to own those Biden economic policies? And does she have the time, to your point, to make to make people feel comfortable with her and to knock back the doubts that some people in the very, very small number of humans in seven states, maybe 5% of the electorate in seven states are going to decide the election. There's almost no one undecided anymore. I mean, a lot of these polls are 50-50. That means that everyone's made up their mind already. So there's also that also adds to the strangeness of it and the challenge she has.
All right. Listening to all the pundits, they say that the debate tomorrow night is going to be absolutely critical. When it may be the most important presidential debate. Is that right, do you think?
Could be. I mean, look, it's hard to imagine a debate that has more consequence than the debate we just saw with Donald Trump and Joe Biden, which forced Joe Biden to leave the race. But because Kamala Harris is as undefined as she is, and because many people, according to those polls, still think, despite her moving to the middle, that she's too liberal, or because they just don't know enough about her, her upside in this debate is huge, and her downside is also huge. She is not a known quantity. She could change the game tomorrow night, and she could change it in either direction for her. Donald Trump is the most known quantity in American politics, and I think his upside is much, much smaller. He's not going to gain very much in this debate, and his doubt, no matter how he performs, and there's not much downside to him. He's just known, and people who don't like him have already decided that. People who like him have already decided that, and the very small number of undecided people, they know about him too. They just have some other calculus that they're playing out. So I think, you know, for her, there's an enormous amount on the line, and therefore, kind of in some sense, for him, because if she does have a great night and really accomplishes all the things she's trying to accomplish, the cost to Trump could be considerable, again, in these races in all seven of these states that are going to come down to the wire in November.
John Heilman, thank you so much for your perspective and for joining us on the first show.
Thanks guys. Thanks, great John. To be here.
Keeping the focus on the presidential election, next up we will talk with Wall Street Journal's senior political reporter Molly Ball, who has been on the road talking to voters across the country. More Countdown 2024 on the way.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Countdown 2024 with Charles Feldman. I'm Margaret Carrero.
Our second guest on our first show, last but certainly not least, is Molly Ball, the Wall Street Journal's senior political correspondent. She's been talking to Democrats and Republicans and I guess people who just don't know what they are from coast to coast. There are an estimated 244 million eligible voters in this year's election, and it often seems like they are living in two very different realities. So Molly has a lot to choose from.
She sure does. She's also hosting a brand new podcast from the Journal called Red, White, and Who? With new episodes coming out every Friday. Molly Ball, welcome to Countdown 2024.
Hi, so great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So you've been traveling around. I think you're going to Philly tomorrow. I think you were in Ohio, Margaret. Did you mention?
I think that's what I heard. It was on Ohio the podcast last, on Friday, right?
On the podcast last week. Was that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been traveling around. Good podcast, by the way, Molly.
Thank you.
But you know, polls are one thing, and being on the ground and getting a sense of where Americans are now as we're getting closer, 57 days away from the election. Where do you think American voters are now?
Well, you know, I certainly can't tell you who's going to win, in case you were hoping that that was the case. But
shucks.
If I knew that, I'd probably be making a lot of money somewhere else. But But look, it's obviously a closely divided country. But when you're on the ground talking to regular people, they tend to be much more complex than that, right? Almost nobody will tell you, oh, I just believe everything that, you know, one party believes and don't believe anything from the other party. People are complicated, and they may go one way on one issue and the other on another. And that's why, even though the country is so polarized, we see that the map of which states are swing states tends to change from one election to another. And different parties will win at different times, depending on, you know, what the local issues are or what voters are thinking about at any given time. So obviously, it's a very close race. Our Wall Street Journal poll about a week ago had 48-47 Harris over Trump. And then the New York Times poll that just came out over the weekend also had a 1-point race with Trump in the lead. And what we know from these polls is just that it's really, really close. And that means that this debate is going to be really, really important for both of the candidates, because there are just enough voters in the middle who haven't made up their minds yet that they're going to be the crucial swing vote that determines who wins this election.
You know, something I found interesting, Molly, I was watching CBS Sunday Morning yesterday, and they were out in Wisconsin. So we're talking about swing states, right? And there were two women who were talking about, you know, supporting Trump. And one of them said she didn't like him, but she felt like he was a better leader for us. And the other one said, you know, he's probably not a really great guy, but that doesn't really affect me. Can you walk me through that line of thinking, that way of thinking, about not necessarily looking into the character of the person?
Sure. I mean, I think most voters accurately perceive that who the president is doesn't affect their lives very much, whether or not they, you know, and certainly some, for some people, it is important to have a presence that they feel, you know, is dignified and represents the nation well on the world stage. But for a lot of people, they look at the president as basically a policymaker. And so what matters is not whether they're a good person, but whether they are steering the country in the direction that you believe makes the most sense on policy, whether that's, you know, what I've heard from a lot of Trump supporters who echo exactly that line that you're describing, is that they feel that the economy was better when he was president. They feel he has the right ideas on issues like immigration that are such a pressing concern for the nation right now. Something like abortion, right? If you have a strong view on whether or not you think abortion should or should not be legal and accessible in America, you're going to choose a candidate based on where they stand on that issue, where they would point the federal government, where they would point the nation on that issue, regardless of what, you know, may be going on personally in that candidate's soul.
Molly Ball is going to stick with us to finish off the first ever edition of Countdown 2024 next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
You're back with Countdown 2024, along with Margaret Carrero. I'm Charles Feldman.
And Molly Ball sticking with us. She is the Wall Street Journal's senior political correspondent.
Molly, you were talking a little bit before about, you know, how there's some people that just haven't made up their mind yet. And I guess I never understand that. I can understand people who say, look, you know, I don't follow politics. I don't really know anything about the candidates. But I don't have an easy time, I guess, understanding somebody who claims that they know something about both candidates, and really at this point, they don't have an idea which one they want?
Well, I'll give you a good example that I think helps illustrate this phenomenon. The political analyst Amy Walter, who's the head of the nonpartisan Cook Political Report, did a deep dive into some of the data on this question of who are the undecided voters. And what she found was that they tend to be young, they tend to be disproportionately female, and they tend to be more pessimistic about the economy than the electorate as a whole. So that's something where, you know, that might push a voter toward Trump if they feel like he did a better job handling the economy, or as a businessman, you know, has a better idea of how to steer the economy. On the other hand, they tend to be disproportionately pro-choice in favor of abortion rights. And so they might look at the candidates and say, well, Kamala Harris is going to be better for me on that issue. But you can see how that voter, that young female voter who cares about the economy but also cares about abortion, might feel cross-pressured between these two candidates, feeling that one is better on some issues but one is better on others, and having to decide sort of what to prioritize in that way.
Molly Ball with the Wall Street Journal and her new podcast, Red, White, and Who, which I actually really, really enjoy, drops a new episode every Friday. Molly, thank you so much. I had one quick question for you, though. Are you going to be doing the chocolate chip pancakes on Election Day?
We shall see. Maybe, maybe not.
All right. That sounds good, by the way.
Yeah, it does. Thank you so much, Molly, for your time and being with us for the first show of Countdown 2024. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Molly.
Congrats on the new show. Thanks so much. Great to be here.
Now, tomorrow on Countdown 2024, we will preview the pivotal Trump-Harris debate with two conservative stalwarts, Bill Kristol and Stuart Stevens. Remember, we're here every afternoon now at 2:30 through Election Day. And if you miss a show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.